episode 224 of Fly Away. We're a group of travel agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Donna, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and Laura. When we think of Bali, most think about Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical, South Pacific. I don't really think about that, but anyway.
You should.
There's so much more to Bali than just a beautiful volcanic island paradise. Bali is an island in the country of Indonesia, located east of Java in the Indian Ocean. With a rich cultural history in the region, Bali offers a great deal for tourists and pilgrims alike. 83% of the island practices Hinduism, and it is obvious everywhere you go. Bali has become a haven for wellness seekers, scuba divers, and foodies. So let's get started. Why are we talking about Bali, guys?
I think it's Bali.
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 All right. Bali. Did we go there?
Sandy is asking what's called a leading question.
Lindsay and I went to Bali. Yes.
That's awesome.
We did.
So,
and it was a very, 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 very long flight.
That's what I was going to say. Like, how long are we talking? Because it was long.
You need about 14 more berries on there.
Well, okay. So our flight from Seattle going to Bali, all told, with layovers, was 21 hours.
Whew.
And then coming back, it was 17.
To Seattle or back to Raleigh?
Yeah, to Seattle. So then, of course, coming all the way back to the East Coast, then add on another 5-6 hours for me.
How many layovers are there?
There was just one, but I flew into Seattle the night before so that I didn't, because I didn't want to back it all to get there, because I was afraid that if I didn't make it on time, then I'd miss my flights. So I got there a day early, and we flew into Taipei. We had 5 hours in Taipei, and they don't have liquor laws like we have here, so we had a beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
Our gate was right next to the beer gate, which was kind of fantastic. And
there's
it was
a
really, really good beer.
A beer gate?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Leave it to the Outlander travel folks to find.
Tell us about the beer gates in Taiwan.
There is good alcohol there. We will find it.
Yes. And also,
good
all the
global
the
ultra, Sandy.
In Taipei.
Yeah, that's got to be the coolest, one of the coolest airports I've ever been
so
in.
So every gate had a theme?
Most of them.
Like a theme like what?
Was the Hello Kitty gate. Another one was all record players. And one was all books and libraries.
Well, that's totally fun.
Well, yeah. It was like a dog park and had like little stuffed dogs for kids to play with. And then dog art all around it. And there was like a little Zen garden area with a bunch of loungers.
So how long did you have in that airport to like scope all that stuff out?
Like 5 or 6 hours the first time.
Yeah.
And then you got surprised by the really cool flight too, right?
Yeah, then you got the really cool plane.
We got the Hello Kitty plane. I was like a 6-year-old walking on there trying to snap pictures, not realizing it was going to go all the way back to my
You thought it was just first class?
Yeah, I thought it was just the first class Hello Kitty treatment. And they are like hardcore detail. I mean, everything from your coffee stir, your utensils. I mean, I had coffee just to get the sugar packets because and the creamer even had Hello Kitty.
It was the pillows all have covers.
The air is so
Is every plane on that airline Hello Kitty?
I don't know. No,
no, there's only about six.
What airline is it? Is it Japan?
It's EVA.
It was out of Taipei.
Yeah, it's EVA. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And you don't know beforehand that you're getting that plane, right? It's not like you can book that specifically?
Well, we knew going back we were getting it because when they printed our boarding passes and our stickers for our luggage, they had Hello Kitty over them. And so I squealed again like a kid.
That's fun. So do they play? I mean, do they give you Hello Kitty toys? What exactly happens on this flight?
Yes.
You had a test.
Yeah, if you have kids on board, they actually have special meals just for kids that are like macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets and all. And then they've also hand out activity books and things like that that are Hello Kitty. I saw them.
Are the chicken nuggets shaped like a Hello Kitty?
I couldn't see. We weren't close enough to see the kids' plates.
Yeah, and the little videos they play on the screen, you know, as you're waiting to take off, is, you know, they play little Hello Kitty videos. Not like cartoons, but like a little blip of a commercial, you know.
Cool. So was the safety video all Hello Kitty? Was it like Hello Kitty showing you how to
book? I wish. No, but the safety instruction card was, as yes. well as the barf bag.
No, actually, the safety video was very Martha Graham-esque in its dancing.
Really?
Oh yeah, they had, you know, the what did they call them? The big ribbons. You know, they were doing the ribbon dancing.
And, interesting.
Oh yeah.
Really? Did you guys happen to videotape that?
Okay, so we've spent like 4 minutes talking about the airplane, so we probably should move on to Bali.
We need to talk about Bali.
I imagine that there's things to talk about. So first of all, I think the first question I have, which isn't even on this these show notes, is budget for a trip like this. I mean, are there places, you just assume that everywhere in Bali is going to cost you, you know, your house. Is it all expensive like that? Or are there lower priced accommodations? I mean, is this a family vacation? Talk about the finances.
That's a misconception.
Yeah, it's a
not
big
expensive.
Yeah. Bali's very, very affordable. Airfare aside, depending on where you're coming from. We were quite surprised. And the American dollar, of course, is very strong right now comparatively. So you're thinking...
You can get like a five-star, everything included for around $200 a night. If you want something like a nice four-star hotel, very modern and clean and everything, $75 a night.
Wow. And there are all-inclusives available, or is it just hotels?
I don't know about all-inclusives.
Okay.
I don't think it was an all-inclusive. It was just an upscale hotel, but one of the ones we toured was about $700 a night, it would have been. But it was like a two-bedroom villa with your own gated area, and the bedrooms were separate buildings.
Oh, wow.
And you had a pool, had your own pool. In
and you had your own big pool in the middle where you could meet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out. So... That's really ideal place for families, I would say. You get a lot for your money. A lot of the places we looked at were less than it would be to stay at a deluxe resort Disney.
Wow.
Okay, because I'm confused. Just to kind of clarify, the beginning data said $200 all included.
No.
For a four-star, so you have your – you have that all has everything that you want. It's got the pools, it's got the spa, it's got all of those amenities. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Okay. And then the $75 one was what?
The one with
like
the mosquito net?
Yeah.
Okay.
Equivalent.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say, like, one of them wasn't even like up to snuff of a Hampton Inn. So I would say caution. Cautionary warning when you're picking a hotel there that's under $100 a night, you do have to be a little choosy.
Can you talk a little bit about like why you're saying that? Like what was it that
just
made
because
you, say?
You can get the cheapest option, just like everywhere, doesn't mean you necessarily should.
Right. Well, okay, I understand that concept. What I mean
so
is
tell us your experience.
Yeah, what I mean is was it that the baseboards were dirty?
To live in Bali, it's not just a place for tourists and
okay, so like by the hour rooms? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Oh, mosquitoes. We didn't hear you say that.
Mosquitoes and bugs and things like that, and you kind of take for granted. You really want like door jams that seal all the way and things like that.
Okay.
So, So a little care. I know that, you know, I was like sticker shock at first too, because, oh gosh, it's so cheap. We can get everything so cheap, but
I mean, it was just an older property. It hadn't been upgraded in a while. So, I mean, there was rust stains and things like that. It wasn't anything just absolutely horrible, but it wasn't great either.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas for like $10 more at another location, it was 100 times better. You know, That's what I mean by being a little...
Well, and that's why we do these trips, is to, get those differences.
Call your travel agent.
Yeah, exactly. So can you tell us a little bit about Bali, other than, it's sort of the inspiration for Bali High, the song from South Pacific.
I don't know South Pacific. How does that song go?
I'm not going to sing it because it's a soprano song.
Come on, you're really good.
I really thought the inspiration for Bali High was from, like, one of the mountains somewhere else. I didn't think it was... that's kind of not the impression I got.
Maybe we should look it up. Maybe we should look it up. But anyway,
this was more of a true, I think, a very true cultural voyage. We got to see a lot of dances, a lot of the, I don't want to say folklore, but the stories. Do you remember what they were called, Donna?
They were almost like an opera.
Yeah, but they didn't call them, they called them dances, but they were more like plays.
Yes. So they were telling a story, and they would give you, luckily, this was the good thing, is that they gave you a cheat sheet. The door. They kind of gave you a general idea of what's going on so that you could follow the story, because being an outsider, you didn't understand all the culture and folklore and things like that had been passed down. So it really made things simple.
Is this like hula dancing where it's all done through movement, or do they actually speak as well and tell the story?
There was movement and some speaking. In one version, there was chant. We had chanting, and the other one we had musical instruments in different, telling different types of stories. But it's a very, very strong, it's a culture of very strong faith and very, very strong family values and importance. Family's extremely important to the culture there. And everyone is so, so incredibly kind. I would say, I think Donna, I don't know if you felt the same way, but the first couple of days there, just being in the bus and driving around and nobody was honking, there was like no road rage.
Awesome. I know.
It was such a strange, and I have video that would just make your nerves crawl of like just bikes going, motorcycles going in. This is a lot of locals ride mopeds going in, merging with traffic, and it just kind of happens organically. There's no,
the lane lines are just suggestions.
Yeah. And people just seem to do it like a ballet. It's almost like this seamless ballet, and people were very, very kind and thoughtful, which is coming from the US driving, especially I'm on the West Coast, it was like a very, very nice.
I have a question.
This is something that I even read about it even before I went, is that they're very, they ask a lot of questions. They want to know, where are you from? How many kids do you have? How old are they? They're very, very intrusive in their questions, but they just really want to get to know you.
And they don't mean it rudely. They're just being open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, open and friendly.
So Bali is a island in Indonesia. Is it a chain of islands? Is it one island? Can you talk about the geography?
It's one island.
One island. How big is it?
This big.
So like, compare it to the islands of Hawaii, or like, did you see all of it while you were there? Or?
No, you're not driving around it in a day for sure.
Okay.
Because the lanes are the way they are, and because the roads are the way they are, and there's so much traffic on the roads, it takes you 2 to 3 hours to get anywhere.
So were you concentrated in like cities, and is there like a huge, I don't know anything about it really.
Yeah.
So
were you on the south side of the island? Like where do you vacation? What is the tourist area of Bali?
So there are several different pockets of tourist areas. There's, kind of the, what is it? I'm going to say it wrong. The Kuta. Is it Kuta?
Kuta.
Kuta. Kuta. Kuta, kind of where all the surfers and the bohemian vibe is.
That's and the beach areas.
Yeah. Seminyak, where we started off, was more of the party scene. More of the 24 home of the 24-hour spas.
And the little boutique.
And the little boutiques, the all-night clubs. And then you kind of get out into Ubud, and that's where, you know, the Monkey Forest is, and that's where there are a lot of things to see out there. The zoo is close to there. I think the volcano that we went to see is not too far from there. The rice field, all of that is kind of within driving distance from there, but that's more of a, you know, the whole eat, pray, love experience of, that's where you're going to find your yogis and your health conscious people and your people coming to kind of center themselves. And, it's very much got that. And then the higher end boutiques, I think in Ubud. So there are different flavors of Bali, and not too far apart from each other, which is interesting too, that, you know, and I would say Kuta was what, maybe 20 minutes away from?
It's not far on a map, but it takes you a while to get there just because of traffic.
Mm-hmm. And the vibe is so different. Like the atmosphere is so different. It almost feels like you could be
different places.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's like different states within the country.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was,
but they're only 20 minutes apart.
So who goes then? I mean, I obviously I'm hearing health conscious people, but is this is it for the younger set mainly, or is it for an older crowd? Or is, I mean, obviously everybody lives there. Everyone who lives there is every age, but, you know, what sort of clients would we be sending?
Australians.
Yeah. Well, it's much closer for them.
They're Caribbean.
Yeah,
it's only a 3-hour flight for them. Mm-hmm.
So I would say, I think, I don't know, Donna, would you agree? Like, I saw a wide variety of ages. I saw young families with young kids, families with middle-aged kids, teenagers, and then solo travelers. And I saw older people.
I would say if you have any kind of accessibility issues, though, it's probably not the best location to go.
Yeah.
For like, say, older folks, because a lot of the streets are cobblestoned. Most of the Hindu temples that you're going into have lots of very, very steep, tall stairs.
Yeah. Oh, like it's a long step, like you have to go way up to.
Very treacherous paths too. I mean, I climbed all the way up in the cave temple, and went all the way kind of back farther than I should have. And I got to one point where I was a little iffy about my footing. And
so I would say anybody who's active and wants an active type of trip, or they want the wellness, it's definitely for that traveler. I don't think it's age discriminatory.
Yeah. I don't think that necessarily rules out those who don't want to be as active. I do think if you have any type of mobility, as far as ADA, compliance, there really is not very much.
Okay. But you don't have to be like
a marathon runner.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have
look
to
at
like,
me.
To like yeah, look at me. I'm fat. If you like food and you like massages, you can still go there and have a fantastic time. You don't have to go climb the volcano or or go scuba diving like Donna did.
Yeah, yes. Donna, so I do want to hear about scuba diving, but I also want to know, would you take your kids?
I think my kids would get bored.
Okay.
I think my husband would love it, but I really think I've got an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I don't think there's too much culture there for them to really be excited about it. Now, if they're in their 20s, I could definitely see them enjoying it, but I think they're a little young.
Well, you didn't go to the zoo with me, because I bet your kids would have loved what I did at the zoo and would have loved the Monkey Forest. And
yeah, I guess if you change up the activities, it could be.
Yeah. I think it really depends on what you're doing.
But we did a lot of temples and everything, and I know my kids would get really bored doing that.
Was it hot?
I didn't think it was as hot as it could have been. We had the rain saved us, I think, a couple times.
And it, but it was humid.
Because mm-hmm. you guys went in January.
We got up into the mountain areas, and it was in the high 70s, low 80s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Up in the mountains? Wow.
Yes.
And we went during the rainy season, so during the wet.
And so what did that mean? Like, did it rain just a short period of time every day, or was it like half the day was rain, or what does...
I don't think it didn't rain every day, but we had a couple days where it did.
Well, it was kind of like Disney World on steroids. It rained in the afternoon, but then sometimes it just, I mean, the sky let out and it just kept letting out and you think it would go away and it rained all night. Mm-hmm. But then it was a beautiful morning.
Well, if it's going to rain, you want it to rain at night. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, unless you're out partying all night, which I happen to know Donna was probably not. Lindsay, maybe.
Not Donna. After dark.
Before we talk about that, though, I want to hear about scuba diving. How was scuba diving there? How would you rate it compared to all the places you've dived in the past?
Well, the diving itself was really good. I don't think I would recommend that particular dive for the location we were in. Because it was a 3-hour drive to get there and a 3-hour drive to get back.
Boy.
So it was a little far out there. The other thing is that the particular dive I did a wreck dive. It was a shore dive and it was kind of treacherous getting into the water. But once you were in the water, everything was beautiful. It was great. I would definitely recommend it. But the getting in and the getting out was a little difficult.
Sketchy.
Was it rocky or something?
Yeah, it was a cobblestone beach.
Oh, okay.
So it was slippery. Rocks were shifting.
Wow.
So it was not easy getting in. And then, of course, there was also these really tall steps. So you had to step down, and there's no railing to hold on to help yourself get down there when you're carrying a 30-pound tank on your back.
You're not walking with fins on, right? I mean...
Oh, no. You put those on when you get in the water.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to picture you doing this. I kind of wish Lindsay had been there to film it.
So Donna, water-wise, is this like clear blue water or is it?
It was beautiful. You could definitely, I mean, I saw clownfish and I saw lots of sea life that you don't normally see in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Cause it's basically the Indian Ocean. Mm-hmm. So completely different. It's not far from the equator. So it's very tropical. My only complaint for that was that it was a cloudy day, and so it was very bright,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you can't help
it. What are you going to do?
Nice.
So, Lindsay, while she was diving, what were you doing?
So, I decided I was going to go to the Bali Zoo, and there's a new program that they started there in November of 2018. I think it might have been December of 2018. And where you get to give elephants a mud bath.
So how was that?
So it was amazing. I was really scared at first. I was really nervous because I read so many bad things and there are so many awful situations where animals are kind of taken advantage of. But this, mm-hmm. the Bali Zoo is kind of unlike any other zoo I've ever been to. When you walk in, and I kind of felt like someone left a cage door open or something because a lot of the animals are free roaming.
Hmm. Fun?
So I don't know how, like, I feel about that. That's kind of terrifying.
Like, not any of the predators or anything, but I really didn't honestly look at every square inch of the zoo, but all of the animals that I saw were very well cared for and had
just the pythons, Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
Just pythons out from me. But you know, I kind of went back and they took the zoo bus shuttle over to the area where the activities are, and they have this big fancy that area where they, you know, care for the animals, but they have the elephants back there and their trainers, and I didn't quite know what to expect, but first they have us go chop fruit. They teach us about chopping fruit for the elephants, and we got to feed them. Well, first they served us like a breakfast tea and food, like local Balinese cakes and stuff, but then we went in and chop the pumpkin and the carrots and stuff up for the elephants. And then we got to feed them and meet them. And then we all went into the mud together. into these mud pools. We went in, and then the elephants came in, and then the elephants actually used the mud to kind of cool down, protect themselves from bug bites, from flies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this until I was actually doing it, but there is a spot right underneath the elephant's ear where they can't really reach. And when you rub that spot, they purr.
Really?
And it was the scariest noise I've ever heard. I was like, oh my God, did I hurt her? Am I doing something wrong? You know, but the guy's laughing. He goes, no, she really likes that. And, you know, and if you can imagine, I love having a massage. And so here we were in these tiny groups. So there was maybe four or five or maybe six of us in my group with one elephant and six with another elephant. Maybe if even that might have been more, five and five. But can you imagine like a 10-hand massage?
Yes, I can.
They were really, really liking it, which made me feel so much more at ease because I kind of thought it was going to be, I was worried it was going to be a different scenario. But it wasn't. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever done. And I'm so glad that I did it. And because I hemmed and hawed about it for a long time. And but it was so great because we gave them massages with the mud all over on both sides. And then we went into another pool area that was water, and we kind of rinsed them off, and they sprayed us with water. And then we went, Pebbles went into like the local river area there that's right by the zoo, going through the zoo, and kind of cooled off with the actual current and got a lot of mud off of ourselves. And then they have these big giant rain showers for elephants outside. Aww. And so that's where we went and met up with them and had more pictures. But we had they have a photographer out there, so you can get tons of pictures. And my only regret is not having my GoPro with me the whole time because my GoPro was waterproof. But I was afraid because it was on a stick, I didn't want to scare the elephant, but there were people out there with their video cameras, and you know, it was just a really great experience. And you could tell that I could tell I was not the only one who was completely moved by it. There's something about elephants that just being that close to an elephant just touches your soul.
Are these baby elephants? Or are they full grown?
No, they so Molly was the elephant that I was with from most of the time, and she was 23. Then Adele was 27.
So do you have ladders or something to get it? I mean, how are you scratching behind their ear?
Oh, she's laying down.
Oh, okay.
She's laying down on her side.
I didn't even think of that.
Okay. Her ear, and so I got so many elephant kisses. And so these elephants are not, elephants were not originally in Bali. They were not from Bali. They were brought from Sumatra. But those elephants are alive and there because they've been brought out. So that is what I will say about that. I'm not a big fan of the riding of the elephants or any of that other stuff, but I think that this program, and from what I've seen of how they treat the animals, and it's more of a spa day for the elephants than anything else.
So I was a little hesitant when you said you were going to do that because I've heard such things about elephants in that part of the world. And then Donna posted a really interesting article from, I think it was from Condé Nast, maybe?
Yes.
About why, or about how there's like conservation efforts where you can get up close with elephants and they need tourists to do those kind of ones because they're the ones that are more humane and more what's the word I'm thinking of here? Like
helpful.
They're helpful. And so if people stop doing those, then it's the bad ones that actually people go to.
It's the bad ones. And then also they don't have the money to care for the animals.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the big problem. And unfortunately we live in a reality of where there are not a lot of safe places for elephants. Mm-hmm.
Which is weird considering how big they are, but yes, it's true.
Yeah.
So it almost sounds like, I mean, what you're describing is very typical to like the zookeeper for a day programs that are at zoos all over.
Yeah.
And they have other programs that I just want to touch on real quick. They had like a breakfast with an orangutan, which I would have loved to do if I had more time. And then there was like a night safari thing that they do at the zoo. And they have a bunch of other opportunities to kind of get up close and.
So do you think the Bali Zoo has a good record with conservation and that kind of thing?
I didn't do too much in-depth research, so I can't say for 100% certainty, but from what I saw, all the animals were very well taken care of. Normally, because that's what I was looking for. I was looking for signs of
exploitation or abuse.
I'm so skeptical about people that and that's part of the reason why I did this, because I wanted to know 100% and not just off of anybody else's review whether or not this was something that I could, feel. And I am 100% comfortable with this. I would do this again in a heartbeat.
Okay.
I would do that again.
So you didn't see any of them chained or anything like that?
No. They were free the whole time. They were.
They could have squashed her like a bug.
If Molly had wanted to get up, she could have gotten up.
She could have gotten up and done whatever she wanted. There was no whips, no none of that. And in fact, because they're very intimidating. Their size is very intimidating. And I know they're very gentle creatures, but accidents happen. Yeah. And, they don't have a good line of vision if you're in their blind spot. So the most jarring thing for me is the area where we have breakfast. There's a big giant billboard like you'd see on the side of the highway sitting facing this open field where all these tables are in the zoo. And it's got all these pictures of what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to pull their ears or pull their tail or punch or kick the elephant. And I'm just thinking, who would do this stuff? And they obviously have to have.
Yeah. who would do this? We can't have nice things.
I had to get in between them for a picture because the guy's like, I was doing a selfie. And he goes, no, go ahead. And I was like in the rain shower with these two elephants and they came closer to me and I got really scared, but he's like, no, she wants to hug you. So they put their trunks in front of me. And I got a kind of not as cool of a picture as I would have had if I had someone else there to take it. Awesome pictures that cause somebody took it with, didn't know how to use my, you always get that one once in a lifetime shot that's a little blurry.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite stories is the first time we actually had an interaction with the dolphins with the kids. I asked this guy who was just standing at the side, who was another client but was waiting for the next tour, to take a picture, to take some pictures. And so basically we did all this stuff and I thought I was getting all these pictures and I get out and he said, I didn't know when you wanted me to take a picture, so I didn't take any. Really? I mean, we're interacting with a dolphin. You know, just take some pictures.
I'm just sitting here thinking of, Lindsay and that poor foot that she's broken two or three times. And
that was the last day.
Imagining the phone call home to Josh about, no, really, an elephant did step on.
No, we didn't tell Josh until he picked her up at the airport.
Yeah.
It was just it's like the dog ate my homework. Well, you wouldn't believe this, but I was taking a shower with an elephant.
What happened? But they were so gentle, and I have this one picture I really love, and I don't look flattering in any of my pictures, but I love all of them because of how you can see how gentle she is in her eyes. Mm-hmm. And the look on her eyes when I'm hugging her trunk. Wow. It was just so sweet. It was I'm never going to forget it. It's such an amazing experience, so... If you get a chance to hug an elephant.
So you found an elephant.
In a nice way.
Laura's kissed
a
giraffe.
In a nice way. Not an intrusive way. Not a wild elephant.
Nice.
So you mentioned they made you, just so we don't wind up, why you wind up in a puddle on the floor, because that's my job. you mentioned that they made you little treats, like breakfast. Tell us about the food in Bali.
Oh, God, the food was really good. So they have this... do you remember what it was called? I want to call it Pananama, but it's not what it is.
Pandang.
But they also have something else that starts with a P, and it's like green banana flavor. It's not plantain. It's like...
Pandang, basically it's the leaves of the pineapple plant.
Is that what it... So they put that in pancakes and everything, and I actually bought a spread, and it's green spread, and it's really good. I don't know. I liked a lot of the food. It was very unique and different.
A lot of tropical fruit, a lot of rice dishes, because of course they produce lots and lots and lots of rice. You had almost like the lo mein that was with just about every meal. They had something called black rice pudding. that was actually a dessert. And it was very much like tapioca, but it had the consistency of like wild rice.
It was so good too. And they served it with coconut milk and you pour the coconut milk over it. And it was really good. Really tasty.
Really?
I mean, it doesn't sound tasty, but I imagine.
It didn't look very appetizing either.
I enjoyed it quite much.
That was really good to me.
Chicken satay. Satay is, I think, the big thing there. Satay and what was the other? Of course, the JFC. We never got to try.
Yeah, they don't. They have KFC and JFC, Javanese fried chicken. But one of the big things is that there's chili flakes in just about everything.
So very spicy, so everything is.
I wouldn't say, I mean, it's not overly spicy, but it definitely has a little bit of a kick. So know that going into it, that you so you expect it, because you have to ask for it to be not spicy.
Even
oh
breakfast.
My gosh. We didn't talk about the massages.
Not yet.
No. We don't I'm have sorry. Time. We'll have to do another. Yeah. We'll have to do another episode. Sorry. We spent too much time talking about the Hello Kitty plan.
Maybe we'll do an episode on massages of the world.
Research.
I think I've done enough research to fill.
All right. Well, that's awesome. That is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And on behalf of Laura, Donna, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.